Hello and welcome back to the Relationship Matters podcast. We believe relationship matters from humanity to nature to the larger whole. I'm your host, Katie Churchman, and across three episodes in season four, I'm speaking with master coach Laurie Shook about alchemy, the art and science of co-facilitation. Based on AUSC concepts, the alchemy approach was designed to help pairs create magical co-deliveries, whether they be co-coaching, co-facilitating, or co-parenting. Magical co-facilitation inspired participants and deep learning. These things don't just happen. However, you can learn the tools and techniques that can help you and your partner to consistently and intentionally create successful, transformative, high-impact learning experiences together. Laurie Shook is a pioneer in the coaching world. She jumped into the budding field of coaching in the mid-1990s, earned the designation of Master Certified Coach by 2001, and has been training coaches for over 20 years. Laurie has coached small business owners, managers, and executives around the world. She has worked with leaders in a variety of organizations, including large multinationals and small to mid-sized businesses. Laurie was a driving force for the global expansion of coaching as she helped spread coactive coaching across North America and helped to introduce coaching to many countries throughout EMEA. She contributed to the creation of quality, scalable programs and training excellence for three international coach training schools, including CRR Global. Laurie is highly respected for her talent in coaching and training coaches. Consistent with her educational background in the sciences, she regularly integrates neuroscience into the coaching and training work she does with leaders, coaches, and teams. With her practical and no-nonsense approach, she makes coaching and personal development a pragmatic yet deep process. In part three of this three-part series on alchemy, we explore the power of being conscious and intentional about our impact. Across this conversation, we discuss why the energy of the facilitators matters, creating conscious and intentional emotional fields, and the magic of meta skills when co-facilitating. So without further ado, I bring you Laurie Shook. Hi, Laurie. Welcome back to the Relationship Matters podcast for part three of Alchemy.
Thanks, Katie. It's great to be back. Happy to be here.
Yes, so over the course of the last two episodes, we've discussed some of the structures like aligning around coaching outcomes and experiential learning as an approach that can create the conditions for the magic of co-coaching or co-facilitation. And in this final episode together, we're going to talk about another key ingredient in alchemy, being conscious and intentional together. So tell me, why is this essential when co-leading?
So it's being conscious and intentional about our energy and our way we are and what we're emanating, if I can use that word, what we're spreading in the room, the silent stuff. So we can be conscious and intentional about our structures, but we can also be conscious and intentional about our energy, our emotions, the emotional fields that we broadcast from us. Because energy and emotions are contagious. And sometimes if we're unconscious about that, we'll put the wrong kind of energy in the room, and the things that we want to do and all that structure we have prepared can go off the rails because we're not matching the energy that we need for the work we want to do.
What are some of the elements involved in being conscious and intentional? Because I imagine it's easier to say than actually to do and to be in practice.
Yeah. So there's attitude, our mindsets, our thoughts, and what we're thinking and how we view people. It's also our energy, the emotions that we bring, what we convey, and it's meta skills, which really is our Borsky way of doing energy and attitude, you know, bringing energy and attitude. So meta skills, that silence, magical stuff we do while we're using some kind of tool, some kind of skill, the meta part of the skill.
So I wonder if we start first then with the energy that the facilitators or co-coaches bring and why that matters.
So I touch on neuroscience every now and then, our brain, you know, what our brains are doing and our bodies. Our energy is contagious. So if I show up and I'm irritated or angry, it's going to come across in little ways, maybe in my voice, maybe in the way I stand, maybe in the way I feel. And I, even if I try to hide it, sometimes that feeling escapes and it impacts other people. You've probably been in a room or on a bus or, you know, standing next to somebody and you can feel that they are just steaming, you know, and while that may be a really big experience of that, it also happens in really small ways. So we need to be attending to how we show up individually and collectively. Now, as individuals, we might be showing up, you know, in a really beautiful way. And there's something funky in our relationship where maybe we're not getting on so well and we're a little irritated with one another. That too, that energy of irritation between us will also get into the room. It's like it seeps in really quietly. People feel something and even if they don't know what it is.
So how can we be conscious and intentional with our energy? Because I know a lot of people might say, well, this is what I've got today, so I'm going to have to bring this. And what would you say to that?
Yeah, that's the authentic thing to do, right? That's not me. I say, you know, it's not about violating yourself, but it is about a certain kind of professionalism. You know, the job to do is to bring out a particular program or to coach a team. And what the team needs is a certain kind of energy. And so it's not about violating oneself, but about adapting to what's needed. You know, the group needs some positivity from you right now. The group needs some safety. You're not feeling safe within yourself, but somehow you got to dig deep and find it for the sake of the group, for the sake of those learning outcomes that we talked about in our first session. You know, everything we do, every way we be needs to be about those learning outcomes. So what's the energy the group needs in order to get to that place we want to get to?
We can make that then our higher intention,
yeah,
and choose to be with that as opposed to the fact that we're tired because we got off a plane last night and we're going straight into this session.
Absolutely. Yeah. What does the group need? And, you know, you might need to say, hey, group, just want you to know I'm feeling really sad today or really, you know, this or that. You might notice a little bit of that. I'm doing my best to set that aside because I'm here for you. Not to make it all about you, but just in case you know some of that energy is coming into the room, you don't want to, you know, you want people to know something about it so they know what they're feeling. Ah, okay, she's got that going on. And don't make it all about that. Say, that's what's going on, set it aside, and I'm here for you. And then find that energy in you that the group needs.
Yeah, what I find fascinating about this piece particularly is we have this sense sometimes that we are stuck in the way we are in that moment. And yet, if we were in a burning building, one intention might be to run out, whereas another intention, if we knew that there were kids in the building, would be to go and save the kids. So there's like sort of this pull in different directions, quite literally.
Yeah.
And the same can be true for our clients. We might be feeling tired, or we might be feeling like there's conflict with our co-coach, our co-lead. But then also, if our intention is to bring positivity, can we align together around that and make that our higher intention, I guess?
Yeah, exactly. How do we do that? And how do we use ourselves? Because we are such instruments with such potential and breadth and, you know, range. And we can tap into those different states. So I want to ask you, you've been trained as an actress, you know, how do you access different energy states? Because that's what matters. If you're going on to do a show or a play or something, you can't go, oh yeah, well, I'm really sad today, so I'm, you know, how do you access those different energy states?
Yeah, so there's a common misconception in acting that it's about placing a character on top of who you are. Yeah, in reality, what really good actors do is they stretch into different parts of who they are. And as human beings, and particularly as coaches, we can do the same. We can stretch and we have more range than we often realize. So when I hear the words, that's not me, or I'm not that, or oh, that's not authentic, I'll say, well, that's not familiar to you yet. It's not your default operating state. But the more we stretch, the more that becomes our new comfort zone. And yeah. I think that's how I like to hold it, is that we always have this range and we don't know how wide, how vast it can stretch.
Exactly. Absolutely. Let's put that in the alchemy curriculum, because that's exactly is. We have so we can stretch into so many different parts of ourselves. And that's what we're asking for this bit about energy. Yes, you may be this way or that way, sad or angry or whatever today. And you've got so many other parts. How do you consciously and intentionally stretch into those parts? Because that's what your group needs.
And I think so often we try and think our way into different energies, don't we? We try and think our way into a certain way of being. And it's quite hard, isn't it? I mean, you know this from the neuroscience.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't just say, okay, we're going to be fun now. Although attitude, I know the next place we're going is to talk about attitude, but that's a kind of way of thinking. But it's not thinking, oh, I'm going to be fun. It's, okay, how do I now think new thoughts and think different way? Because that can help me have a different attitude, which can help me have a different energy.
Mm.
So there's nothing wrong with some thinking. It's just not that, okay, I'm going to think fun right now.
So again, attitude isn't so much about saying we're going to be fun, but it's also about making that a part of your being. And does that happen then before you even end up in the room as co-coaches?
Absolutely. I think it's part of the planning.
Okay.
Well before you're there on the day. So we've got this program plan. We've got these outcomes. What's the energy and attitudes we need to have? How do we need to show up? Some other words some people like and some people don't. How do we need to show up so that we can infuse the room with the energy that's needed? And you can decide that ahead of time. Of course, when you see the room, you might need to adjust it because there might be something going on in the room or something in the world might have happened. But there's a lot you can plan with that. You know, if we're doing something like a meditation practice within our day, whether it's part of coaching or anything else, you know, we don't want to be bringing our rock star energy, right? Meditation has a calmness and a mindfulness to it. We want to bring our voices to that. We want to bring our attitudes and our energy. And we just, with the way we're being, can create a more meditative space. But if we're teaching salsa and we want to have some fun, then we also need to bring that side of ourselves, go, okay, let's go, you know? And that has a huge impact. Just the attitude, the tone of voice. It's not just tone of voice, but, you know, our whole way of being and our whole way of being with our co-facilitator as well.
So how do you help yourself and a co-coach, perhaps when you're in that relationship, to shift into different states in service of the coaching outcomes and the client?
I think it's totally magic. How do we do that? I mean, it takes work. It takes personal work. It takes agreement.
Yeah.
It's at this point we're going to need to calm ourselves. Let's remind each other of that and tap into this. As a practice, as a pair, we might need to practice those things. Like, let's be in our meditative state or our safety space. How do we do that together? We might need to experience it before we get into the room together. So we know, how do we hold this calm, cool, collected state for our clients when they're going to be going into a tough conversation? How do we do that? Let's practice it. And at that part of the day when we're going to be playing a little bit, how do we get playful, or how do we provide what the room needs so they can be playful?
Mm.
You know, we might need to practice that and explore the breadth of our relationship, not just the breadth of our individuality, but the breadth of our relationship.
And what the listeners can't see right now is that your physicality changed in those two states. You weren't just saying these things.
Mm.
Like, you sat back in your chair when you were at the calmer place, and then you started to use your hands more when you were fun. And so it's as much about what's going on in the body for you as it is thinking, I'm going to be fun.
Right. Right. We have to be it with our whole selves, because our body is doing things and that produces energy that impacts the people. Tone of voice, our thinking, our attitudes, because that changes how we think and what we're going to say.
Mm.
You know, it actually changes our thoughts. We can use our bodies. And as we use our bodies, it informs the brain, okay, this is the way we're being right now. And the brain changes and the chemistry changes. And that supports the way our body's being and supports what we say and supports our attitude. So it works body, brain, body, back and forth. Our whole selves.
I so often come back to the idea that there are more pathways running from the body to the brain than the brain to the body. Because we so often try and think our way into things. Like, I'm going to be confident. And yet the body's like, no, we're not. Our body's backing away. Whereas you can stand confidently and ground our feet, shoulders back.
Yeah.
The brain's going to join. The brain's going to join the party because it doesn't really have an option at that point. You're in play.
Yeah. It might take a little moment or two for the brain to catch up, but it does.
Mm.
And then it serves you.
Yeah. And so then I wonder about the combination of these and meta skills.
Yeah. So meta skills, that ORSC term that we use, well, it's, you know, from Amy Mendel originally, but meta skills, the thing we do, the thing we project, the way we do things. So we might have a particular thing that we do, like asking questions. But if we use different meta skills, we ask that question in a different way. You know, so it's all that being state. And the meta skills help create the attitude and energy. We can put names to different kinds of meta skills. So we communicate together, oh, we're taking on that meta skill of safety, the meta skill of surprise, or the meta skill of calm, or the meta skill of fun. And that's a way for us to think about it together. Maybe that's where the thinking thing comes in. So we're going to use the meta skill of fun. But it needs to be a door that we actually open and step into, you know, and then use our bodies, not just think about it, we're going to do this. So meta skills are, they're magical, really. And this whole thing about energy and attitude, it's all part of the magic of how we have an impact.
And so then how does that look within a co-coaching relationship? Do we pick the same meta skills, or do we have a blend?
That's a great question, because, well, in alchemy, we talk about a blend.
Okay.
And we call that blend. We call this whole piece that we do in alchemy, we call it spell casting. Like magicians, you know, Harry Potter has his, you know, magic wand, and he can cast a spell, or witches, you know, cast a spell. We're always casting a spell, you know, meaning we have an impact. Mm. So we say that a spell consists of a multiple set of meta skills. So we're kind of cooking up a potion, a little bit of fun, a little bit of safety, a little bit of intrigue. And some of those might come more from me, and some might come from my co-facilitator, my co-coach. Maybe my coach is better at intrigue, you know, so naturally we have it in our relationship. And maybe I bring a little more safety in, so we can lean into each other. We don't have to match each other, but we need to understand that our combination of energy creates something in the room. And sometimes, you know, there are those relationships where, you know, the essence of the relationship might be a little sparky. It might be fun sparky. It might be conflict sparky. You know, there might be a little bit of essence of like antagonism or something like that. If that's there, we need to address it. And we might only know about it by getting feedback from people.
And I guess as well, the relationship there is a door for us to expand our range then, because if we tend to take a role, or we lean on the other person to do something or to be something in that space together, maybe we can stretch and try on something different.
Absolutely. Because if it's always the other person bringing the safety and always this one bringing, you know, edge, it starts to separate us, you know, and we get role nausea besides. Like, I'm tired of being the one who always is this way. You know, I want to have a little bit of that, you know, loving safety thing too. So yes, we need to stretch ourselves, and we can use our co-facilitator's brilliance to learn from. Okay, I can mimic that a little bit, maybe walk their talk, you know, and be like them to learn how.
So what would you do in the instance that you've done all the work, you've got your coaching outcomes, you've aligned around the experiential learning approach, and you've designed your energy and your attitude, these meta skills that bring that to life, and yet in their room is falling flat, and maybe you've said one meta skill, but something else is showing up. There's a gap between how you think you're being and how you're actually landing on the group. What would you do then?
Take a break, talk to your co-coach.
Okay.
And I mean, it isn't always about a break. You might just notice something's falling flat. What do I need to bring here? What does the room need? And I think this is the order of it. What does the room need? Let's say the room needs a little more spark or fun. What do I need to bring in order to create that? It isn't always fun from me to create fun in the room. I've seen it happen where the co-facilitators wanted to create fun in the room, and they were all fun and perky, and it terrorized everybody in the room. Like, who are these weird people? That doesn't, your own meta skills of fun, like it's in your own little bubble, doesn't necessarily create fun for others. So what is it? And I think this is new thinking for some people. It's like, what is it you need to create to have the impact of inviting fun? You know, it might be a little bit of fun, it might be a lot of fun, but you need to experiment with this. Great, it's falling flat over there. Okay, I see that. What do I need to do in order to shift the energy? Maybe it's name it. Maybe it's bringing different meta skills. Maybe it's bringing safety. Maybe it's just having a shift and having a break with your co-coach and talking about it, or other co-facilitator, and talking about it and saying, what's happening in the room? What do we need to bring? You know, that falling flat might actually be a signal to something. And we can always pay attention to it. Instead of fixing it, we can also go, okay, maybe we unfold this flatness and find out what's going on. And with that, that would require different meta skills.
I love what you're pointing to around the fact that certain meta skills will land differently on the group, particularly if they're more unfamiliar to us. So I find engaging and bubbly very easily. They come to me sort of naturally, and that's my kind of default range. Whereas if I try and do more of a disturber, take on more of a disturber role, that attitude doesn't take me far enough. So sometimes I have to put the word fierce in my mind to take me to disturber.
Right.
Because it's so far from my primary.
Right.
And I sometimes wonder about, for example, if someone isn't fun in their default, maybe they even need to go to silly in order to get what's needed in the room.
Yes. Yeah. Our own perception of what is fun or what is fierce or what is disturber, you know, may be very different than the participant's version of that. And so we may have to be going out of our comfort zone into going what you call fierce, which may come across as, you know, somewhat bold to people.
Mm.
You know, it's like, oh my God, I was so fierce over there, you know? And actually it was like, wow, that, you know, that presence looked really good on you, Katie. So it's, you know, it's a matter of scale. It's a matter of perception.
Yeah.
And it's a matter of our deciding to go there.
I do a lot of this work in presentation skills and personal impact. And one lady was trying to come across as confident, and the room we're reading, they were getting calm and shy and quiet. So they were really far, big gap. And so I put arrogant in her mind, and she started to get to confident. And so that was an interesting reminder of very much that.
Yeah, exactly. Because sometimes to get to the place we want to be, we have to way over calibrate.
Yeah. And I think what this points me to, again, is always a wonderful reminder. So many of these episodes come back to the fact that when we're doing the work with our clients, we're always doing the work with ourselves and with that co-coaching relationship.
Yes, absolutely. If you are not interested in personal development, then you shouldn't be a coach. That's my firm belief, because it grows us and it has to grow us. We have to keep staying present and growing ourselves to keep meeting our clients and all their different needs.
I think it's easier, isn't it, in a way, to say, I want to help people help themselves, and it's all out there. And yet it's always that parallel process of what's happening here in system one, in me system.
Yeah, it is. You know, if we don't have that sorted out, system one over here, self, and the system with our co-coach, if we don't have that sorted out or have some control over it, I don't mean in the controlling sense, but you know, we can't be conscious and intentional about it, we'll have less of an impact than we could.
I wonder, before we finish, if we can reflect on sort of the alchemy arc as a whole and the magic that emerges when we have the structures and the meta skills in place with our co-coach.
It's a bit complex. I think of it as a package that all hangs together. And what we try to do in alchemy is pull it apart and say, okay, here's your learning structure. Here's your, focus on outcomes, and here's your way of being.
Mm.
And those are separate, but they aren't separate in reality. We bring them all back together and they all work together. It's everything for the sake of the outcomes, everything for the sake of what the client group needs. I'm not sure if that's the kind of summary you were thinking of.
No, I love it. I think coming back to the what, how, why we mentioned in episode two, the what is our toolkit,
mm-hmm.
and then the how is this way of being, whether that be the meta skills we bring, the energy, the attitude, the processes we use, and then the why is, of course, the coaching outcomes. Where are we going? What's the arc of this journey?
And all the meta skills and energy and all that is part of the how. How do we get people from where they are to where they want to go, or we want them to go.
And so what happens when we don't have the how? When there's an absence of the how? We've focused on the why and we've focused on the what, perhaps the things that are more easier to grasp in our minds. What happens there?
We might get lucky and it might work out okay. You know, we might naturally, without thinking about it, have all of the bits of how all lined up and working for the client group. But that might also limit us in the kinds of teams that we can work with. And I've heard that from coaches too. I only work with these kind of teams because that's what I'm appropriate for. It's like, okay, well, you know, that's okay. And, you know, but if you want to work with a larger number of group, you might need to stretch yourself in those different ways, expand your range and expand your range of clients. But if you don't have that consciousness at all, So if you don't have that consciousness at all or willingness to stretch, then you're limited to who you can work with because you can only work with your defaults.
And so then in terms of that co-coaching dynamic, how is this different with a co-coach than it is, say, on our own? Mm-hmm. Say we're working with a smaller group or an individual. How does this show up differently when you've got that magic of two?
The magic of two is bigger than the two. Because when you work with a co-coach, you have not just your range plus their range. You've got more safety to expand your own personal range. I can go a lot further one direction or another when I have a co-coach next to me, because I know if I go too far, they'll balance it. We need to talk about that as well. You know, it's like, wow, you know, I'm going to really go for it and really try to dig out this conflict that's happening in this group and, you know, shine a light on it, which is a risk. You know, I can take a bigger risk like that when I'm with a co-coach than I can with, that I feel comfortable by myself, because there's no one else to rescue me. They'll label me the one who's the disturber, you know, but I also have to play the role of the other. So I think there's, and maybe that's not true. Maybe that's just me, that I feel like I have more range when I'm with a co-coach. So I think when we have co-coaches, we have a broader range. There's four eyes and four ears and two bodies and brains that pick up all the energy in the room. And there's much more we can attend to. There's more safety for us. There's more risks we can take. There's more comfort, perhaps. It's usually a lot more fun because we're sharing. We're in it together. We've got this relationship we're leveraging. When we're by ourselves, you know, there are some great things about being on your own. You don't have to invest all that time in building your relationship, and you can do whatever the heck you want. And you don't have to worry about, you know, shifting gears and going in a different direction and making sure your co-coach knows that you're, you know, that's what you're doing and why. So there's a little more freedom when working on your own and a little more responsibility, but more fun when working with a partner.
And I guess they serve as a mirror as well, reminding you sort of how you're showing up in that relationship.
Absolutely. You can get feedback right then and there. Wow, did I go too far? Did I just, you know, you can ask your co-coach what they saw and thought, and it can be very comforting that, you know, okay. Great. I'm in an okay place. Or, you know what? I need to, given what my co-coach just said, I need to go apologize or something.
That was mentioned on another podcast about how when co-coaching, they feel more courageous.
Yeah. There's someone by my side who's got my back.
Yeah. Wow. Feels like a wonderful space to be in, to play in and to take risks in. And after all that we've talked about over these three episodes, what's a final thought you want to leave us with, Laurie, around alchemy?
I think a final thought is about investing in relationship, because that's what it requires. You can create so much magic with a client group, whether it's a facilitation, you know, a training or a coaching that you're doing with a team, or even one-to-one coaching sometimes, or even running a meeting. If you're doing that with a partner, really leverage that relationship, invest in it, design it, because that relationship can take you really far and create so much magic for your clients.
It's brilliant. Walking our talk in that relationship system before we meet the other system.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we haven't talked a lot about that, but that's a whole part of this too, is we need to walk our talk, demonstrate with one another, demonstrate from the relationship what we're trying to get the team to do, for example.
This has been such an insightful set of discussions, Laurie. Thank you so much for bringing your wisdom to the show. And I'm excited to dance more with alchemy with my co-leads and co-coaches down the line.
That's great to hear. That's great to hear. It's been a pleasure. You're so fun to talk to, Katie. So I really love these three sessions that we've done. Thank you very much for the opportunity. And, you know, thank you for the opportunity to talk more about alchemy and get more information about alchemy out there in the world. I really appreciate that. I think it's a great set of tools for people to have. I would love for people to know about it.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you, Laurie. Take care.
A huge thanks to Laurie Shook for these three fascinating episodes on alchemy. In part three, we explored being conscious and intentional with our impact. And here are my key takeaways. Our energy and emotions are contagious. The energy of the individual facilitator matters, and the energy of the partnership, how the partners relate to one another, matters, because it's all contagious. Co-facilitators need to model great relationship and positivity in the relationship in order to walk the talk of their work. Attitude matters. Positivity is important for learning. Judgment and reactive brains can shut down learning. In addition, disagreements or frustration between co-facilitators will leak into the group, as will competitive feelings, one-upmanship, and radically different approaches, which create a tug of war. That doesn't mean you can't be different. In fact, you want to leverage your differences. Allow people to see two slightly different approaches, but make sure that both of you are aligned with these different approaches. Meta skills are the means to creating the energy you want. It's helpful to think through the energy that's needed for the work you want to do. What do you want to create in the room? And when might you need to shift your meta skills in order to serve the system in front of you? Alchemy, the art and science of co-facilitation, is an ICF accredited course available in a virtual or in-person format, depending on your location. Whether delivered in-person or virtual, experiential learning and active participation are at the core of the Alchemy course. During the course, you work primarily with a designated partner, so you can sign up with someone you're already working with to deepen that relationship, or you can sign up solo, where you will be assigned a partner and you'll learn the joys of developing a powerful relationship from the very beginning. For more information about the Alchemy approach and for information about upcoming courses, please visit crrglobal.com/course/alchemy. Thank you for listening to the Relationship Matters podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with your colleagues and friends so that we can continue to spread these ideas across the globe. And if you haven't already, do subscribe wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you never miss an episode. And for more information on the ORS courses, please visit crrglobal.com. For over 20 years, CRR Global has accompanied leaders, teams, and practitioners on their journey to stronger relationships by focusing on the relationship itself, not only the individuals occupying it. This leads to a community of change makers around the world. Supported by a global network of faculty and partners, we connect, inspire, and equip change agents to shift systems one relationship at a time. We believe relationship matters, from humanity to nature to the larger whole.